Good morning, everybody. Mark Farzetta with you. Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Andrew Salchunas on the updates on a Football Friday here on 97.5. The Fanatic, brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember, Rosenbaum, over two decades helping our community. It's a funny feeling today, Trey. It's a funny feeling I have because I am amped up for this game because this is a playoff game. I really do have the vibe you should have before a playoff game. That's how amped up, how excited I am for Eagles-Cowboys on Sunday. 4:25 kickoff, national game, all eyes on Eagles-Cowboys in the monstrosity of Jerry World, all those annoying shots of that stadium you'll see time and time again. But I am so amped up for this game. However, I don't feel good. As excited as I am, I can't wait to just watch the game and hope that I'm wrong. I don't feel good about the Eagles' chances of winning this game, Trey. I do not have a good vibe about this. And I as much as I want to do a rah-rah, go Birds, all that stuff, I got to be real with you, and that's my number one priority is to not BS you. And I just don't have a good vibe going into this game. I don't like what Kamu Grugier-Hill said. That definitely factors into it. But even more important than that is that the Dallas defense is pretty damn good. And for the Eagles offense that has struggled throughout the season, that's coming off of those back-to-back wins against subpar opponents, and just got a running game going, this is the worst possible matchup the Eagles could have right now. The worst possible matchup. I don't know what your vibes are, fellas, but that's my vibe going into the game.
Well, going into this game, with it being Dallas week, I'm like a lot of fans were fired up about it. Then I heard Grugier-Hill's comment, and I was like, oh, damn. Why did he say that? And then I was like, you know what? All right. Since you put it out there, I back it.
Okay.
I'm riding with you.
All right.
But then I hear all the post-practice meeting interviews, and not one person in that locker room backed him.
One guy half backed him.
That's not a backing him.
But
not one person said, you know what? My brother put that out there. I'm riding with him. No one. Everybody shunned him. He wasn't even available for any post practice interviews.
Nothing.
So you put that out there, and then now you go hide out in the training room.
Yeah,
you go hide out in the locker room. You go sit in the bathroom and wait for all the media to leave.
The closest thing to him being there was his teammate, Sheldon Gibson, dressing up like him.
Exactly. You go give your jersey to somebody else, and then you go tuck tail. Now, that's tucking tail and hiding once you put something out there.
Yeah.
And then not one of your brothers on that team stepped up and said, you know what? All right. I back him.
The head coach,
my brother put it out there. I back him.
The head coach didn't even back him.
No.
I don't feel good about this game now.
And for the record, just while you brought that up, for the record, I did not feel good about this game like Monday night at midnight. Like, Kamu Grugier-Hill only made me feel worse. I didn't feel good about it because I'm just looking at what's on the field. I'm not going with the off-the-field stuff quite yet. And by the way, the Eagles, whatever they're saying about how there's no such thing as bulletin board material, please, come on. You can't say that after you run with the underdog mentality.
Yeah, that's a good point. I wonder if we're overplaying all this. I was saying to Jamie at the 5 o'clock hour, like, I kind of like what Malcolm Jenkins said. Like, we're playing for first place. You really think that that's going to like motivate somebody even
right.
more? So hopefully, hopefully it's a yeah. Now you Trey, you would know better than anybody. But like, look, do you like the comments? No, but Trey makes a great point. Why didn't anybody have his back?
But no one backed him. Everybody, oh, we all we got, we all we need. We're going to have each other's back. But when he put that out there, no one, I mean no one, everybody was like, hey.
We all we got, we all we need.
If that's how he feels, the game is going to be difficult. Everybody started getting real mild-mannered then.
You wanted to like it, though.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Like, it's the words itself is something somewhat true that we all believe, so you want to like it. I think it's just who delivered it.
Yeah.
Is the biggest problem.
But he delivered
the catalyst.
It. He delivered it, so now it's up to your brothers to say, all right, then, well, hey, man, hey, he put it out there.
The Eagles acted as if whatever he said was fire, and they didn't want to go near it.
They acted
like it was the worst case of the flu ever.
Man.
And they're like,
"Oh,
hands back.
Quarantine
like,
him."
Well, they had, and we'll let you hear from Carson Wentz yesterday because he gets asked about it. Malcolm Jenkins, as you alluded to a second ago, Trey, he actually was asked about it. Sheldon Gibson dressing up. The head coach Doug Peterson was asked about it during his conference call with the Dallas media. He was like, yep, not, nope, not touching it. When we talked to Corey Clement yesterday, he didn't want to get into it. He was like, yep, well, you know, to each his own. So anyway, do you guys like cookies? I don't know. He just was trying to, wanted to get away from the subject as fast as possible. For a locker room last year that embraced that doubt that everybody else had, that shade that everybody else was throwing their way, now all of a sudden, Baltimore, but seriously, come on now. And I not to pat myself on the back, but Doug Peterson tried slinging that BS at us last year after they beat the Vikings when Lane Johnson was running around the field with the dog mask on. Yeah, Doug Peterson at the podium going, well, you know, we don't hear the outside influences. We only worry about the guys in the locker room. And I was like, Douglas. Right now, Lane Johnson's running around in a dog mask, so you definitely hear that. I guess that's a little motivation. And it's like, hey, when Carson got injured, nobody gave us a chance. And then he gave a beautiful, like, 30-second soundbite about how what it meant to the team to have those people doubt them and then to be able to band together and rise up. And then, of course, a couple weeks later, they win a Super Bowl. There's no way you can run with that storyline last year and then all of a sudden say bulletin board material doesn't exist. But in all seriousness, Kamal Grugier-Hill said what he said. We broke it down yesterday. We'll let you hear the people kind of jumping ship on this comments yesterday from Malcolm Jenkins to Doug Peterson to Carson Wentz to Corey Clement. We'll get into all that. But the bottom line is the Dallas Cowboys are a better team than the Philadelphia Eagles. And I know everybody hates to hear that, but that's the truth. I'm going to be real with you. That's the truth. That's why they're in a better position than the Eagles are right now. That's why they beat the Eagles a couple of weeks ago, 27-20. They have a much better defense. They have an incredible running game. We're going to break it all down as the show goes on today. Yaron Jaworski is going to join us at 7 o'clock to give us his take on the game. But when you look at what the Eagles have done over the course of the season, the fact that they've won two games in a row, they've beaten opponents they're supposed to beat in the Redskins and the Giants, that's great. But the thing that actually gives me, and here's my little morsel of confidence in this game. My little morsel of confidence is that I don't believe Dak Prescott is good enough to win five games in a row, and I don't think he's good enough to win this game for the Cowboys. And true, he might not have to win it for him, but I just don't see a situation. If I'm looking to be, for an optimistic reason, the most optimistic reason I have to think that the Eagles might win this game is because I don't see Dak Prescott leading this team to another victory. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Everything else, because, look, they can rely on Amari Cooper making plays. Now, he's got to get the ball from Dak, but Amari can make the play after the catch. They got to rely on Ezekiel Elliott, and they got to rely on their defense. I just don't see a quarterback like Dak. If it's going to be a quarterback matchup, like we talked about yesterday, of Carson Wentz being the MVP for this team and actually stepping up and making sure his team wins this game, if it's just coming down to quarterback play, then I'm taking the Eagles. Let's party. But there's a lot more things that factor into it.
Yeah. It's a lot. I just, you know. We shall see.
You just said a lot with that exhale.
Yeah. I mean, you know what?
You can break down so much for me, but with that exhale, you kind of said it all.
Yeah,
you're not
know.
Feeling good either, brother.
No, I'm not, man. I would have felt a lot better if, you know, if you had some of the guys just come out there and say, "Fuck it. Yay, my brother put that out there, and then let's go get it." My brother put it out there, so let's go get it.
Yeah, he said what he said.
Yeah, but instead, everybody was like, hey, you know what? Hey, you right there, hey, go sit in the weight room until all the media leave, and you just hide out. Go in the cafeteria or whatever, you know, because we need this to kind of blow over. Everybody's going to just kind of feather this storm down a little bit because, you know, you kind of put some energy out there that we really don't want to have out there.
So, obviously, the Eagles have given us a lot to talk about over the course of the week. Anytime you got Eagles-Cowboys week, you got a lot going on there. We do have some Phillies news to get into today as the show goes on. They make another acquisition, get another lefty in the bullpen. That was nice to see. Flyers get a point, so there's that.
Yeah!
You were sitting ice side last night.
I'm telling you, fellas, I had one of the most incredible experiences of my life
last night.
Wow.
Like, it was that amazing. That absolutely, it was just incredible. I was sitting ringside. I was sitting with Lou Nolan. As we've talked about before, I'm going to be doing the PA announcing for the Philadelphia Wings lacrosse team, which I'm really excited about. I've always loved the PA aspect of announcing and all that stuff, not just radio or TV, but actually getting on a microphone in front of a large crowd and all that stuff. I love that live entertainment type aspect of it. So I got to sit with my friend Lou Nolan last night as he broke down kind of all the PA stuff in the Wells Fargo Center. It was just a really cool experience. And I'll just talk about that briefly a little bit later in the show, but it was just one of the coolest experiences of my life. Really, just to sit there,
the sights
that
were good?
Close, the sights were incredible.
Yeah?
They were insane. I marveled at the views, as a matter of fact. All the views. And it was just absolutely awesome to have that experience. Gabe Kapler said goodbye to some people within the last couple of days after the trade with Gene Segura that we haven't gotten into, and we'll get into that. And then I heard you talking about this, Jamie and Bob, in the 5 o'clock hour, but a little more to it. I feel like I do need more Allen Iverson movie reviews.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was funny.
My life is not complete until Allen Iverson is a paid writer for some publication to review movies.
Yeah.
I want to hear Allen Iverson review The Notebook.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to hear Allen Iverson review Click.
Yeah. I want to watch him cry. I want to watch him shed a tear over Adam Sandler.
So, yes. Like, as if he was Aaron McKee?
That's right.
So we'll get into Allen Iverson's top five movies and some other things that he said in his Players Tribune article that came out yesterday. It was absolutely fantastic. Like I said, we'll talk to Rod Jaworski coming up at 7 o'clock. And we'll take your calls. We have some great giveaways today. We got a Flyers Santa sack, Flyers tickets to the Panthers game. That includes Flyers tickets to the Panthers game on January 3rd. We also have Dead & Company tickets. We have Mizzou axes passes to give away throughout the show today. We have some other stuff that we're going to be getting into. But right now, as always, we have our Twitter poll question brought to you by Window Nation. Always simple on a football Friday. Sam Wilson, what do you got?
We're curious about everybody's predictions for the game. So this morning we asked, will the Eagles beat the Cowboys? Just under 800 votes so far. Guess how many said yes?
83.
69%
what?
Say yes.
Oh my goodness,
and
Jamie.
And 31% no.
Congratulations, Jamie.
Nice.
60. Anytime it's below 70.
Nice.
I know that the fan base is not really riding high. I mean, we got Eric wants to tell me that the Eagles are actually going to win on Sunday. Wants to tell us that the Eagles are going to win on Sunday. Please convince me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong that the Eagles will lose this game. Tell me I'm wrong. Please. Convince me. I need all the help I can get before 10 o'clock. Time of the Fanatic, 6:14. We need some clarification. We need some words of inspiration. We need a lot of things to get into when it comes to the Eagles and the Cowboys. And there's really no better person to talk about that with Ron Jaworski, who we're going to talk to in just 1 second here. 6 o'clock hour was brought to you by Bay Management Group, your premier property management company specializing in multifamily and single-family rental properties. Visit baymgmtgroup.com. Here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. On the line with us right now, Mr. Ron Jaworski. Jaws, good morning.
Mark, Trey, Bob, good morning, gentlemen. And to put it simply, in the words of Stuart Scott, this is a ginormous football game.
Yes, it is.
Well, to further that, I hope that Carson Wentz against this Dallas defense is as cool as the other side of the pillow.
Hey,
I see what you did
back.
Thank you, sir. Hey, anything for the great Stuart Scott to remember that name. Jaws, when you're looking at this game and Carson Wentz seems to finally got on the same page as Golden Tate, do you think this is something that are going to be able to roll over to this Cowboys game?
I think they're getting better every week, and the chemistry certainly getting better. And, you know, I guess the average fan doesn't really totally comprehend how long it takes for a quarterback and a wide receiver to develop that feel for the game and get on the same page. And, in today's world, we want instant results, and it just doesn't happen that way. So I see it getting better. I see it coming along, and it's going to need to be there on Sunday. The Dallas Cowboys are fueled by their defense, and they're playing really good defense right now. So the Eagles are going to need every weapon on the offensive side of the football to be on a roll.
Is Dak Prescott a good enough quarterback to go on a 5-game winning streak when the Eagles are finally, it seems like, hitting their stride?
Yeah, I think Dak has certainly calmed down and playing better football right now. And you know, he now is a guy that he feels comfortable with in Amari Cooper. And, you know, that was a a tremendous acquisition for the Cowboys. You know, we all know they had a quarterback that needed some help. He's a talented guy, but I don't think he's a guy that can put a team on his shoulders and he can carry it. They run the football well with Zeke. We know the talent that he has, but you know, you need that complimentary player, and it turned out to be Amari Cooper, where you just need to shade the defense to him. You need to give him some double coverage. He's explosive. We've seen it already in his time with Dallas. He takes that short pass and turns into a big gain. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to have the star on him as far as a wide receiver, you know, for the Cowboys. I mean, he's the guy the Eagles defense has to be aware of.
The Dallas Morning News yesterday, and I guess you would expect it from the Dallas Morning News, but they put out a story that said that Dak Prescott this season has started to close the gap between him and Carson Wentz. Do you think he has done that at all?
Well, you know, if there's been a close in the gap, it hasn't been because of the improvement of Dak Prescott. I just don't think Carson Wentz is back to where, you know, he was before the injury. I think Carson has been solid. He's been good. But I see too many plays he's left on the field. So I don't think Carson's where he's going to be a year from now, you know, after that injury. So, yeah, Dak's a good football player. I think Carson has certainly bigger upside. But hey, both are playing at a good level right now. That's what makes the game so intriguing on Sunday.
Joel, we've seen the progression of Josh Adams, especially over the last few weeks. And we understand, you know, you can look at numbers and have a guy that you give the ball to 20 times is great. But tell me how it helps the offense as a whole, not just him running, but how does it help the offense as a whole?
You stay on schedule, and I think that's the most important part of offensive football, is keeping your offense on schedule. In other words, stay out of those known passing situations when the defense dictates to you what you have to do. So the Eagles, you know, when they win, they run the ball on first down. I think I've got it an average of 16 rushes in their winning games on first down. In their games they've lost, they've rushed the ball only 10 times on first down, so they're getting off schedule. And that leaves the play-action game available. That leaves the screen game available. You get in those third and long situations, second and long situations, the defense now kicks its heels back, going to what we call that jet technique on the defensive line, and they're just going after the quarterback. So when the Eagles have balance, that equilibrium is so important, that's when they're at their best. And they've been the last couple weeks that way.
You know, we're always looking for good vibes, Jaws, and earlier this week on your show, you had a guy that just inspires happiness and good vibes, and Bernie Perrant. when you think about that show that you guys did earlier in the week, I mean, if you're looking for a good time this week, obviously you have Eagles Cowboys to celebrate, but I'm sure hanging out with Bernie wasn't all that bad either.
Hey, I got to tell you guys, you know, I love my radio show. We spend an hour and I get some, you know, just some cool people. We have a great time, and sometimes we get off tangent from sports. And Bernie is one of those guys that you just love to have on your show. Obviously, you know, the greatest hockey goalie of all time. You know, everyone knows that, you know, Bernie had more saves than God. You know, I mean, that line just, you know, it emanates everywhere you go with Bernie. And he's such an amazing person, and he loves this region in Philadelphia so much. And, you know, when you're around Bernie, he's so optimistic. He's so positive. And I had Bill Berge on the show with me. So, I mean, we were just reeking of just having fun about Philadelphia and how much we love this community. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that. And Bernie's a special dude, man.
Oh, certainly. No, anytime I ever am able to catch Bernie, I always make sure I catch Bernie, as well as your radio show, Jaws.
Well, thank you. I always appreciate the plug.
Oh, of course. I'm coming right out of the other gig, and I turn the radio on, and there's Jaws, and then there's Bernie. Oh, my God, two for a dollar today.
Charles, when you hear the comments made by a certain Eagle this week about Dallas being choke artists, and Gruje Hill I'm talking about, as a player, how did you react to that? And now as an analyst, how do you react to something like that?
No, number one, as an analyst, as an outsider now, when I see that, oh, you give you stuff to talk about. You know?
Yeah, right.
As a player, I think you kind of chuckle. You know, coaches love that stuff, the bulletin board material. And, you know, some coaches will take that stuff to an extreme. Other coaches could care less about it because, you know, the only thing that matters is, you know, 4:25 on Sunday afternoon and, you know, in Dallas Stadium. And that's all that matters. But, you know, everybody's different. Some guys use that to get themselves all lathered up for the game. And some guys say, you know, who cares about that? But, you know, but rest assured, if Dallas wins the game, there'll be some comment about it, because after the fact, it's easy to make a statement.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. Speaking with Ron Jaworski, one of the things that the Eagles hopefully will be able to take advantage of is the Cowboys third down. They have allowed, as a defense, if there's a weakness, the fifth most conversions at 42.8% allowed. When you see a stat like that, a team that struggles to get off the field, how does it make sense when they're not allowing the point? When they're not allowing the points, third best in terms of points allowed in the season. Is there any correlation there? It seems like two totally different stories.
Oh, I absolutely. Third down is the money down, in my opinion. And that's the one that keeps you on the field. And if you just think back to last year, with Carson Wentz, how good this Eagle offense was on third down, how good they were in the red zone. So now as we enter the last quarter of the season, and by the way, 3 weeks ago, that Dallas game, and what a remarkable turnaround to make this game. Ginormous, as we like to say. But it really has been a turnaround. Now you just hope that the Eagles have found their rhythm. At the last quarter of the season, I've been around this game a long time, and a lot of coaches talk about, hey, we played those first 12 games, the first three quarters of the season, to get in position in December, that last quarter, to put it together. And it just kind of, I'm not saying this Eagle team is there yet, but they're getting better, they're in rhythm, there's a harmony amongst the team, so I think it's getting better, and this game is going to be just an awesome game on Sunday.
I know one of the reasons the Eagles, if they are going to win this game, it's going to probably be because of being able to force turnovers, especially from Dak Prescott. How would you approach him from a defensive standpoint, Jaws, to make sure that if they are going to beat you, it's going to be with Dak Prescott?
Yeah, if I would say there's one thing that this Eagle team must do to win the game, their defensive line must bring it. In both offense, passing and running. Hey, we know what the Cowboys want to do. They want to feature Ezekiel Elliott in the running game. So those defensive linemen, they must hold that point of attack. This isn't a great Dallas Cowboys offensive line. They've had injuries, and they're a little banged up. So I think our defensive line has to hold the point in the running game. And then when they get in those passing situations, obviously you got to play with discipline with your pass rush, but you must get quick pressure on Dak Prescott. He's not the kind of guy that's an anticipation thrower. To me, he's a quarterback that waits till the receiver gets open, then he makes the throw. So I think what you got to do is get the quick pressure on him and force him into those known passing situations.
Now, when you say get the quick pressure on him, would you blitz him a little bit more or just rely on your down four to get there?
Trey, I would not blitz him, a high percentage of the time. I think you always have to the mix the blitz pressure in, give him something to read. It's not what Schwartz has gone to since we've had all the injuries in the secondary. The blitzes have been minimal. Jim could always be creative. I think you can go with some creative blitzes, but I think you'd like to get that pressure with the down four and not compromise coverage with the blitz.
Gotcha.
All right. And above all else, Jaws, need your prediction. Eagles,
man, I know
Cowboys.
You do that. You never let me leave, and I'm a little nervous about this one, guys. But I've already made my pick, and I waffle back and forth, but I'm going to say Dallas 24, Eagles 20.
Oh, my goodness. Tell me a Bernie Perron story. I need the optimism.
when I made that pick, both Bernie and Bill Berg, you looked at me a little cross-eyed. So, well, you know what? Hey, I got to make my pick on how I feel the game's going to go. I'm pulling for the Eagles. Hey, no one's going to be cheering louder than me, but as I look at this game objectively, I want to give the Cowboys a slight edge.
You see that, Ron? We're honest with the Philadelphia people because we love the Philadelphia people. See that?
That's correct.
See that? nothing more to it than that. Ron Jaworski, always great talking to you, my man.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy, sir. That's it's just real talk. Just real talk.
You're
spitting
both
real
crumbs.
Talk. Now, hey, look, you call me a crumb all you want. Call Ron Jaworski crumb. You and I are going to have a problem.
I know. You feel kind of weird saying that. Like it hurt when it came out.
I set him up perfectly. Sam, did Ron Jaworski, did he hurt the poll? Did he help the poll? Is he helping the people here in Philadelphia look at this game with a little bit more objectivity?
You have a limp microphone. What is going on?
Okay, I'm just giving up on the headset.
There you go, you're fine.
We're all in the same room here.
We're all fine. What is the update on our poll question brought to you by Window Nation?
Today we asked, will the Eagles beat the Cowboys? We have just over 2,000 votes already. Still, 69% say yes, 31% say no.
What is it with this show and that number? It just keeps on
keeping on. It's our magic number.
Yep, yeah, it's the magic number. Say a little bit. Do we have John online with us right
now? Yeah, John's there.
John is there. Perfect. John, I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Machado? I hope I'm saying it correctly. John, thanks for joining us. Did I say your name right?
It's Machota. It's fine.
Machota. Thank you. Yeah. I apologize. Reading your stuff, obviously, I don't get to interview you too often, but love your stuff for Dallas Morning News. You do a phenomenal job covering everything with the Cowboys and everything down there in Big D. How confident, obviously, four games in a row now for the Cowboys, how confident do you feel they are going up against the division rival Eagles?
I think that they're very confident, and that's just because they're on a four-game winning streak, and they're starting to kind of get that feel in the locker room like they're repeating what they had in 2016. I mean, with that being said, obviously, they haven't been great against the Eagles, particularly at home under Jason Garrett. So I don't think that they're overconfident, but because of this four-game winning streak, because of the way the defense is playing, and because they're starting to run the ball a lot closer to what they did in 2016, there's a lot of confidence in there.
With you being down there, how did the players react to Kamau Grugier's heel comment?
You know, it's funny because I thought a lot of guys would downplay it, and most did. But there were a couple guys that were pretty annoyed by it. You could tell Antoine Woods, their defensive tackle, he said that he got him pissed off because he kept hearing about it on notifications on his phone, and then obviously family and friends are telling him about it, and so you could tell he was a little bit annoyed by it. But even Dak Prescott too, he ended up quoting Jason Garrett on basically, I think it was that. Basically losers talk about winners, and I was kind of surprised even with that far. And then when he was first asked about it, his first response was who, which he clearly knew, which he told us later that he knew who said the comment. But you know, nothing, they didn't fire anything strong back. But on the same token, DeMarcus Lawrence was pretty out in front, and it did something very similar before they played the Saints. And it worked out just fine for the Cowboys. So, I mean, yeah, it'll get them fired up during the week, but I don't think it changes anything during the game because they're always up for the Eagles. It's not like they needed that. And so I do think it angered a few guys. Maybe it's a little motivation early on, but I don't think that will be the difference in the game.
Yeah, John, I think the difference in the game is going to be the Cowboys' defense. How did they hold Drew Brees to his worst rating in 2.5 years?
You know, one of my buddies covers the Saints, and when I was talking to him after the game, one of the things that he said that stood out to him about the Cowboys' defense was just the way guys like Jalen Smith and Leighton Vander Esch were able to, what they were able to do against Kamara, just something that, you know, he hadn't seen. And that was interesting to me because I get to see these guys on a week-to-week basis, and you see them coming on because in the past it's been all Sean Lee at linebacker for the Cowboys, and that defense went as Sean went. I mean, the last 3 years, I think there's something like 1-7 without Sean Lee. And so basically everything just falls apart when he's out. Well, this year it's been completely different. They're 6-1 without him. And I'd say those two linebackers are a big reason for it. And then the other thing is on the back end, the defense is just way different back there since they've added Chris Richard as he's the passing game coordinator and DB coach, but he also has a big say in what they're doing in the game plan from week to week. So those things, and obviously a healthy DeMarcus Lawrence getting pressure up front. I mean, you put all that stuff together and an overall health on that defense, that's why it's playing as good as it has and probably even better than it has in probably a decade.
John, during this winning streak, Ezekiel Elliott has been averaging like 114 yards. He's really been running well. My question to you is, since you do see these guys every week, how much better is Dak Prescott when Ezekiel Elliott is running well?
Oh, yeah, no.
Or is that overstated?
No. That's definitely not. I mean, that's a huge part of it. It's clearly Dak is at his best when the defense is playing the way it is and that running game's working like it has. I mean, that was the recipe in 2016. And that's what they really want from Dak. I mean, the biggest stat down here we talk about all the time is that the Cowboys are 23-1 when Dak doesn't turn the ball over. So when you watch this Cowboys team play, particularly with the way they're playing on defense and with the way the running game's working, really what you're asking from Dak is just don't turn the ball over. And make two or three big plays at certain key times, and might just that big play might just be dumping it down to Zeke when the defense isn't expecting it. But yeah, no, if you just had to put this game on Dak and you didn't have Zeke and he just had to win with his arm, the Cowboys would not be in a good situation. But because when you have Zeke running like that, and every single team knows Zeke's running like that, I mean, we really didn't even start seeing double coverage on Amari Cooper on Sundays until really last week in the red zone against the Saints. So you weren't even seeing them, the defenses, the way they were playing them, completely, you know, try and shut down Amari. They're still focused on stopping Zeke, and that's going to be helpful to any quarterback.
Speaking with John Machota of Dallas Morning News, of course, in Dallas, Texas, covering the Cowboys. A guy that absolutely had the Cowboys' number the first time he saw them this season was Golden Tate. And then, of course, when the Eagles acquired him and they faced the Cowboys, he was barely visible on the football field. How much do you think the Cowboys are preparing for maybe another onslaught like he was able to have against the Cowboys in his first matchup against them?
I mean, behind game planning for Ertz, I think he's number two to them because they know what he's capable of. I mean, not only did he do that with the Lions this year, but Golden Tate had a good game against them in the playoffs a few years back as well with the Lions. So he's been a guy that's been difficult for them to cover. And I will say, yeah, behind Ertz, I think that's the biggest thing. And I think everybody knew when they got him that probably wasn't the greatest thing if you were a Cowboys player or a Cowboys fan, just because what he's done against the team in the past. But in that first game, you knew he was going to have the full playbook. He wasn't even going to have close to that, and that it was going to take him a while to kind of click with Wentz. And then when you see that start happening, they're very aware of that. And I will say, I think that maybe they come with a little bit different game plan against him than they did maybe when he was in Detroit the first time against Philly. They mixed stuff up against the Saints that we hadn't seen all year. They brought in Jordan Lewis, a corner who hasn't played that much this year, and they put him on in certain situations on Kamara on passing downs and just did some things that we hadn't seen. So maybe they do the same thing with Golden Tate, but yeah, they're very aware of him.
What was Golden Tate doing against the Cowboys that worked so well?
Just destroying their man coverage. I mean, when he had a situation where he just had to beat his man and they weren't helping over the top, then when it wasn't just that, he would get the separation. And then obviously he has this rapport of playing with Stafford for such a long time that not only would he get the separation, but then he would create big plays, you know, after the catch. And that was something that really we haven't seen from this defense other than when they played against Golden Tate. I mean, they really have been pretty good against other teams, you know, big time receivers for not giving up the huge play. But Golden Tate was one of them that was able to do that. And then after watching them the other night, I mean, that's got to be something that they're very concerned about.
John, is this the best string of football you've seen from the Cowboys? And I know you brought up 2016, but with this defense, the way they're playing now, is this kind of an overall the best they've been playing in for some years?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I can't take away anything from 2016. I had a post recently about how I really thought that the Saints win was one of, I have it as the second best win at Jason Garrett's time as the Cowboys head coach, and then two of the other ones in the top five were both from 2016. So that really is where you're going back to in the time that Jason Garrett's been the head coach. They had a nice run in 2014 with Tony Romo, and then he went down in 2016, and then Dak had them on a similar run like they are right now, and you really get from being around the team to feel like they're kind of clicking back to that. Now, with that being said, the defense has never been this good, so that's an added element to it that maybe puts them even more over the top. But it starts really, it's more believable if they beat us, an Eagles team that has really under Jason Garrett, they're 2-6 playing in Dallas. I mean, that's kind of shocking when you think about how he's been against the rest of the division. So yeah, the Saints win took them to a certain level, but beating this Eagles team, I think, takes them to an even another one.
All right, let's get a final update on our Twitter poll question brought to you by Window Nation. What do you got, Sam Wilson?
Today we asked, will the Eagles beat the Cowboys? And we had just under 4,000 votes today. 70% said yes, 30% said no.
Oh,
they ruined it.
Drat.
Real quick, Danny, call back.
No, no,
we got his info.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah,
I'm good at my job,
Jamie.
I panicked.
We did the end around.
I panicked.
We were liking tweets from Markelle Fultz, and we got a little all right, we got our predictions to get in, but first I got to tell you, you can watch the Fanatic pregame show, that watch party, of course. Join former Philadelphia Eagle Jason Avant, Devon Gibbons, Bob Cooney himself for the Fanatic pregame show at Sugar House Casino this Sunday at noon. Then hang out, watch the game with the Fanatic's own Andrew Salchunas on Fishtown Hop's huge 10x10 big screen Dollar Dogs, $2 Miller Lights, cold beer here, $12 Miller Light buckets, presented by Sugar House Casino. Philly loves a winner, and supported by Visit Philly and Gerhard's Appliances right there. Also, Fanatic Deal of the Week, 2 tickets to Sahara Sam's Oasis, $33, located in West Berlin. Sahara Sam is New Jersey's the largest indoor water park. The exclusive offer is a perfect gift for the holiday season, the whole family for the holiday season. Hurry, this offer is available now through Sunday at 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Sam Wilson, your prediction, go.
I think since it's a big game for both teams and they both need the win, the offenses are going to go off a little bit. So I'm going to say 31-27
Eagles. 31-27
Eagles.
Yes. Jamie Lynch.
I think this one I'm feeling great about. Eagles 27.
Oh, my goodness.
Cowboys 20.
Homer.
And they win on a Dak Prescott either interception or fumble late in the game.
Oh, listen to you
at
with that.
At a crucial point.
Bob Cooney.
31-20
Eagles. 31-20
Eagles.
Trey Thomas.
I'm going 24-20 Eagles. I don't feel good about it, but I'm going with it.
I liked the writer, John Mochado, that said that they're going to do a 20-19.
Yeah.
That's bold. That's bold right there. I'm going to go ahead and call this game 24-17. Dallas Cowboys.
You crumb-ass Cowboy fan.
Sam, what is your takeaway of the day brought to you by Schwartz Colleton? Call 1-800-JUSTICE. Get the money you deserve. Call 1-800-JUSTICE.
My takeaway is that the negativity has shifted, and last week it was Mr. Bob Cooney that was negative, and now it is you, Mark.
Oh, I'm a negative Nancy. I apologize. My Bob, she's taking shots. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day.
I learned today that Siskel and Ebert, one of them's dead, right? They have nothing.
I think they both died.
They both dead?
I don't know.
Well, if they're up in heaven, they should listen to Allen Iverson's film reviews, because there's been no better film reviewer in the history of man than the great one, Allen Iverson.
There you go. There you have it. Bob Cooney.
On Sunday, the Eagles will kill two birds with one stone. Oh, I'm sorry, Pete. They will feed two birds with one scone when they shut down Zeke Elliott and Zach Prescott. The offense will not be the guinea pig. I'm sorry, will not be the test tube, Peter.
What?
For Dallas's defense. The offense will need to start fast, not to beat a dead horse. I'm sorry, Peter, not to feed a fed horse. In order to bring home the bacon, bring home the bagels, the Eagles will have to outscore the Cowboys. And I anticipate, last thought, I anticipate an Eagles win with Carson Wentz taking the bull by the horns. I'm sorry, taking the flower by the thorns. Thank you, PETA, for screwing up my takeaway of the day.
I can see why you didn't want us to do that after you wrote that. That's good.
Tired.
That was
Trey
good.
Thomas, stay with it. Hey, I'm out. There you go, everybody. Friday. My takeaway of the day is that not only is Allen Iverson the greatest movie reviewer, but we're starting a GoFundMe to pay him to review more movies. And we're also having a game day tournament to be described more in detail later on. Time of the Fanatic. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 975 The Fanatic.